I would say curiosity is definitely a huge asset. I would say a boldness to just go places and throw caution to the wind and say, you know, I wonder what's inside that fence or what's behind that door.
You're listening to Choose to be Curious, a show all about curiosity. We talk about research and theory, but mostly it's conversations about how curiosity shows up in work and life. I'm your host, Lynn Borton. Welcome. Come, choose to be curious with us. Success is all about passion and persistence. That's what Angela Duckworth said in her blockbuster book, Grit, back in 2016. Never one to let promising ideas sit idle, psychologist and curiosity researcher Todd Kashtan has taken that concept that tenacity and a focused stick-to-itiveness are essential to achieving goals and pushed it together with curiosity to see what happens at their intersection. He says when grit is framed as the presence of harmonious pursuits that a person is passionate about and motivated to pursue despite pain and effort, this strength intuitively seems to be a useful aid in bouncing back from adversity. In a pre-publication discussion of his research, he wrote, "It seems curious people are more likely to see new and uncertain situations as exciting opportunities to grow, rather than scary obstacles to avoid," which makes intuitive sense to me. But there's a catch, he says. Curiosity can be paradoxically painful. And when curiosity isn't satisfied and that desired challenge is denied, it can leave people feeling they've missed an opportunity, disappointed, dissatisfied. Todd was looking for people to share their own anecdotes and experiences related to this grit and flip side of curiosity to round out his research. And I was thinking about that on a walk as I was also prepping for today's conversation. Sometimes I get a show idea that I just can't shake. And that's what happened here. I met movie location scout Aaron Hurwitz at a wedding last summer and immediately thought, one, cool suit, and two, interesting job. Seems like a curiosity enterprise to me. What, I wondered, could the rest of us learn from someone whose job it is to observe places really closely? Aaron's location scouting credits include Joker, West Side Story, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Killers of the Flower Moon, and Maestro. He says he likes bringing to reality what's on the page. Now, I don't really know what a location scout's hours, days, or weeks are like. As I read a bit about it, I kept coming across patience as a requisite trait. I don't know what I was expecting to find, but I guess that wasn't on the short list, which is what got me thinking about Angela Duckworth's and Todd Kashtan's respective work on grit. If a location scout's work calls for a good deal of patience, which one might imagine entails a certain measure of persistence, and if the job is to go to uncertain places and see the opportunities there, then yeah, that's sounding like another way to think about this entwining of curiosity and grit, and at least a preliminary validation of my gut reaction back in August. So now we'll put it to the test, and I'm delighted to have Aaron Hurwitz join me today. So welcome, Aaron.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm really excited about this, and congratulations on a great and very diverse body of work and list of films.
Thanks. Yeah, no, it's been a very long journey. As I try to explain to people, like, I didn't wake up overnight successful. I started very much in the no budget indie world of movies that you will have never seen, never heard of, and, you know, gradually learned both my craft and the industry and how to be in the world and all that, and kind of worked my way up to being working on things that have a lot more heft and gravitas in the world and that are a lot more interesting to me and exciting to work on. So yeah. It's been a really interesting journey.
I'll bet. So what does a location scout actually do? I mean, what's the short version of what your days and weeks are like?
Sure. So for me, the way I find it easiest to explain to people what I do, imagine somebody sits in a room and writes a scene involving a unicorn. Now, obviously, there's no such thing as a unicorn, but your job is to now go out and find the representation of a unicorn. So you go out into the world and you bring back, here's a Shetland pony, here's a Clydesdale, here's a Mustang. You know, you tell me which you can best translate into believing as a unicorn. And so that's kind of my job in like a very simplified version, right? Like, I have to go out into the real world and find the thing that exists inside of the director and the designer's head in terms of their vision of how they want to bring to reality this scene. Now, obviously, sometimes I'm working on projects like Maestro where we have research photos and we know what Leonard Bernstein's house looked like.
Right.
And so we're trying to recreate that space in a creative vision that kind of lends itself to being authentic to the story and also, you know, logistically practical to filming in.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'm working on projects like, you know, for example, The Joker, where it's a made up universe. And so we're trying to assemble what Gotham looks like, you know, like right. It can be kind of however we want it to be.
What about the work particularly speaks to you? And do you feel like you bring some particular skills that make you especially suited to it?
So what do I like about it? I mean, there's a myriad of things that I like about it. I love that every day is kind of different and unique.
Yeah.
And every day is kind of a different experiment. I liken it to being a caged puppy, right? You know, like I wasn't designed to sit still and behind a desk in a chair for hours on end, just not moving. What unique skills do I bring to the table that especially suit me for this career, this profession? I would say curiosity is definitely a huge asset. I would say a boldness to just go places and kind of throw caution to the wind and say, you know, I wonder what's inside that fence or what's behind that door, what's inside that building, and just willing to ask for forgiveness sometimes and not so much for permission. You know, it's like a sanctioned kind of exploration. You're not only supported but encouraged to do it. It's like, you know, let your imagination run wild and go out and see things and explore things and report back what you find. You know, it's just like, I love that. It keeps me interested and engaged. I get to now work on projects that excite me. Is it something that I've never explored before? You know, a time period or something that just stimulates me in a way where I'm like, oh yeah, that's going to make me excited to get up in the morning and go delve deep into this universe. I'm like, I'm super excited about that. Let me do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. So I love that curiosity was really high on your list. Okay. Proof of concept.
Yeah.
I'm also thinking, you know, it's easy to imagine how the curiosity plays out when you're actually out and about scouting, but there must be some work that you have to do even before you get to that point to really understand and get a feel, as you were saying, like, what is it that the writers and all and the directors are trying to create here? Talk to me about, do you use curiosity in terms of extracting those insights and those ideas? What does that look like?
Totally. The designer and the director will first get together and figure out what the vision is for the film.
Uh-huh.
And they'll create a lookbook, references in terms of pictures or films or all these things, and we'll generate basically kind of a Bible. I've heard it referred to as a Bible, right? So you know, for West Side Story, I was sent out into the world and it was like, bring back some images that can show us that we can still do 1950s New York in 2017, but they're like, in a couple of years, are we going to be able to do 1950s New York. And I said, sure, let me go out and see what I can do. And so, you know, they were like, bring us back some basketball courts, residential streets that kind of still have some of those details, some rooftops, and see what you can come up with. So I went out into the world and I, you know, looked into all these various aspects and brought back some photos and said, you know, like, here's a, you know, basketball court that I think is really cool and could lend itself to, you know, looking 1950s, or just, you know, a universe where you're fully immersed in a space and it just, you believe that you're in a 1950s location. They also specified they wanted a certain amount of grit because the city hadn't been as clean back then because they were using coal as opposed to natural gas. So there was a lot of just soot on everything. You ask these questions of like, here's what I'm thinking. What are you thinking? Is it something like this? Is it something like that? You know, and try to kind of hone in on exactly what it is that they want, you know, and try to sculpt it.
And when you go out into the field, I mean, obviously then you have this Bible, right? You have this guide of these kind of very specific things maybe that you're looking for. So you have to stay present for those details. But I'm imagining also that you kind of want to also keep a wider view so that if something serendipitous comes along, something that hadn't been anticipated, but that you can look at and see possibility, you have to do both, right? You have to be able to narrow your focus, but also totally keep it the wide lens. How do you do that?
You're working off of the script. The script is really what dictates the actions that are going to take place. But it doesn't necessarily describe in too much detail the place. You know, you got a slug line that says Tony's in the stock room. And it's just like, okay, well, what does that stock room look like? Uh-huh. You know, or the Jets are painting a mural in a basketball court, you know, and it's like, okay, well, now you got to think about what does that look like? So then you might be out in the world and you see something and you go, I know we don't have anything scripted for this, but man, this is just really neat. Like,
yeah.
Like I gotta bring this back just to show, you know, this restaurant or, you know, this alley or this street or whatever it is. And sometimes they, you know, you go like, oh my God, yeah, that's great. We need to find a way to write this into the movie. You know, uh-huh. that happens, you know, it's like, it's a creative process that kind of evolves and you kind of go down this journey and see where it takes you.
You know, that's so interesting. It resonates with something that a neuroscientist said to me years ago about curiosity being a process of acquiring knowledge whose purpose is not yet known to us. And I think you're sort of out there harvesting for a very specific purpose, but you're also, like, you're building your stockpile, right? These become places that you could think about for subsequent movies. Or it's like, well, this was a cool place. It doesn't work at all for this project, but man, I am not losing track of this. And that's like its own kind of curiosity practice about sort of being open to things that seem to you to have possibility. Does it feel that way to you?
1,000%. Yeah, 1,000%. I like to kind of describe myself as like a location hoarder, right? So I'm constantly photo documenting places and just filing them away.
Yeah.
And you know, you name it. I'm pretty organized and things just kind of accrue in all these little files of stuff, you know, and kind of waiting for the phone to ring and say, hey, I need this. And, you know, you never, ever know the thing you're going to need until the phone rings and they say, I'm working on this. Again, like, to me, that's the excitement of my job is it's like, I never know what's going to be the next thing.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
So talk about tenacity and patience, because it was an interview with you actually where I first came across this, oh, you got to be really patient. And then I kept seeing it in other people's description of the work. And I thought, okay, there's really something here. So much of this sounds exciting and, you know, kind of pretty freeform. What's the patience and tenacity part of it?
Sure. That shows up all the time. And I'm going to use West Side Story as an example again. The opening sequence of West Side Story shows this demolition site. It's supposed to represent the neighborhood that was demolished to make way for Lincoln Center. They came to me and they said, we want to do this practically. We don't want to do CGI. And I said, okay, well, like, explain to me what that looks like. And they said, well, you know, maybe it's an empty lot or a construction site. Or, you know, we don't know. We're probably going to build it on a back lot, but just take a stab at it and see what you can come up with. So I had to figure out what this was.
Yeah.
You know? And so I'd go to construction sites and I'd be like, hey, you know, I'm working on this thing. You know, we wondering if we could potentially rent your construction site to turn into this thing. And they would go, you know, yeah, I'm interested, but I can't guarantee you that in a year from now, when you're talking about wanting to shoot this thing, that it's still going to look like this. And I said,
right.
Okay. You know, so I was getting that response a lot, or I'd go, you know, to empty lots. I'd find like a, you know, a plot of land between buildings and I'd be like, hey, you know, can we do this? And they'd be like, you know, I'm trying to sell it. I'm not about to sit on it on the hopes that you might choose it. You know, so it's like, you have to have patience because you'd think everybody would just roll over and be like, oh yeah, absolutely. You know, Steven Spielberg, West Side Story. We want to work on that. That sounds wonderful. Well, first of all, I can't always necessarily give all the details of the thing that I'm working on.
Right. You know,
on a lot of projects, you have to keep the details. Sometimes I have to be tenacious and really kind of push and the place that I wound up finding, originally the response I got was that they were not interested. You know, I couldn't take no for an answer. And I went back and kind of found somebody above that person to talk to. And ultimately I had to talk to the mayor and the you know, building authority and the police department and, you know, the parking authority and all these different people and convince them that what I was going to do was going to be a net benefit and show them kind of what I had in mind for doing and what it was going to mean for the town. And they ultimately signed on and it worked out to be a terrific experience all around.
That's really cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. You know, the other place where patience comes up, I mean, you're dealing with the intangible, right? You're dealing you're dealing with something that is in somebody's mind. And our minds don't necessarily always work in a linear path. You might have had this interview written out as far as what you're going to do. But then, you know, maybe last night you go to sleep, you wake up this morning. Oh, you know what? I've got a whole new idea. I'm going to take it this direction. Or you were chatting with a friend and they mentioned something and all of a sudden now you've got a whole new spin on how you want to conduct the interview. You know, the creative process is not a, it's not a straight line. It's totally a you know, an EKG. It's kind of a ups and downs and sideways and, you know, and so you have to have patience. You have to let the process kind of play out and be willing to adapt. And it's a journey and you got to just, you know, keep calm and let the process play out.
I love the reminder that the creative process often requires patience of others
and of yourself, you know, like I can't tell you how often I search for a thing and I find myself going, I know it's out there. Why can't I just find it?
Yeah.
And you just get frustrated. And then you kind of got to remind yourself, like, listen, I've had a boss who said to me brilliantly, Lori Pickus, she said, it's called scouting. It's not called finding, you know, like you just got to trust the process and just let yourself go out there and keep scouting for this thing and you'll find it eventually. But
I like,
you know,
that's
the process.
I don't know if you think of it this way, but you've provided what in my mind feel like a bunch of curiosity practices, right? Like the whole sort of hoarding of opportunities and thinking about, I don't know what this is, but it's cool. And I'm going to find a way to use it sometime in the future. I think of that as a curiosity practice. Asking for forgiveness, there's a good curiosity practice, right? It's like, don't wait for permission. Just go and do it. the whole exploration, it's kind of reimagining that you were just talking about. Are there other things that I would call curiosity practices that are, that you've developed, ways large, small, where you cultivate or use curiosity in yourself, whether for work or your life, whatever?
I mean, I think one of the things that I find myself doing, I'm always curious. I ask people, you know, when I'm at dinner parties and people are like, oh, you know, like, what's your favorite this, that, or the other? You know, like, what's the coolest? And I'm always like, do me a favor. Tell me what your favorite thing in New York is. What is your New York? You know, like, let me hear what your perspective on New York is, because I'm curious to hear what it looks like through your eyes and less through my eyes, because my eyes, New York is everything. You know, it's all the things at once. It's not one necessarily thing. It's every nook and cranny of the city. But I'm sure there are things that I'm overlooking, because it's such a vast city that, and it's constantly changing, that I can never see everything. You know, I look at things in a very hyper specific way. You know, for the Joker, I looked at 23, 25 different step streets. So that specific scene, the way it shook out was Todd had asked for a very specific set of stairs that he had seen as like a 1 second snippet in a film, American Gangster. And so I went and tracked down those stairs, and unfortunately, or fortunately, they'd been renovated. They'd been given a fresh kind of set of concrete and nice planters, and it, you know, looked really cute and pretty.
No longer gritty, huh?
Exactly. And that was just it. And I said, okay, well, you don't want to go back and say, listen, it doesn't exist. What you do want to do is you go back and you say, sorry, boss, here's what it looks like, but I do have this one instead that I think is potentially what you're thinking of, or kind of more in line with what the general aesthetic of the project is. There was some that I looked at where it was like, you know, wider, and some that were more narrow, and, you know, all these different aspects, different angles, different benefits and drawbacks that lend themselves or not to the actual location. And so, again, as I said, it's like my job is to present, here's a Shetland pony, here's a Clydesdale, here's a Mustang. You know, it's just like you want to provide variety and diversity and all within the same kind of structure of, it's a horse, you know, it's stairs, but there's vastly different ways you can go about it and different angles you can take in terms of what you're trying to achieve.
I love it. Yeah. Well, speaking of different angles that you can take with something as mundane as stairs or horse, are you game for my big jar of wannabe analogies?
I'm totally game for the big jar of analogies.
Okay, here it is. Literal big jar. Got slips of paper in here. I'm going to take out one for you, one for me, and one for the audience. And we're going to make an analogy to curiosity with whatever is on these slips. Okay. All right. Yours is cucumber. How is curiosity? mine is figure skating, and we have one for the audience later. So do you want to go first, or do you want me to give it a shot?
I'll give it a go. Okay. I would say curiosity is like a cucumber in that hopefully it's constantly growing. Mm. It can be adapted. It can be turned into a pickle. It can, you know, it can lead you down many paths. And you know, it's unique in that it's super adaptable. It can be applied to a sandwich or a salad. It can be applied in every facet of your life in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, it's kind of special
it.
That way.
I like curiosity. It's cool like a cucumber. I like it. Okay. figure skating. Okay. So I actually was a figure skater in my youth. And one thing that I think a lot of people don't really understand or appreciate about figure skating is it's all about the edge. It's all about staying on an edge, which is where you are both more and least stable. And I think curiosity is a little like that. It's about staying on that edge, which is both unstable, but also where the grip and the power and the speed can actually come from. And I think, like figure skating, if you can use that edge in curiosity, cool things can happen. Beautiful, remarkable speed, incredible, feats of prowess. So that's how that's what I'm gonna say. Curiosity is like figure skating. And audience, yours is hairpin. How is curiosity like a hairpin? Let us know. Social media hashtag analogy. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for this. I have to tell you, I have not been looking at movies the same way since meeting you, and I really won't be looking at them the same way now. So thank you for that too.
Truly my pleasure. I find, as somebody that works in the behind the scenes, I haven't watched a movie the same way in a long time. You know, it's like I'm constantly thinking about what went into the baking of the cake in a way that most people probably just, just tune in and tune out. And so, yeah, it's a really deep pool that goes on behind the scenes that most people will never really contemplate. So I really appreciate the opportunity to give a little bit of insight on it. So thanks for that.
You've been listening to Choose to be Curious. I'm your host, Lynn Borton. Thanks for joining us here today. You can find all my shows on my website at choosetobecurious.com. I hope you'll follow me here, there, and on social media at Choose to be Curious, where you can share your hairpin analogy, hashtag analogy. Many thanks to my guest, Aaron Hurwitz. Links to his work, along with more on grit, on my website. Thanks too to Sean Ballack for our theme music. This is Clay Pawn Shop by Castro via Blue Dot Sessions. I hope you'll join us again next time. Until then, choose to be curious. Is there anything that you wanted to speak to that we didn't touch on?
Anytime you have a location scout that comes knocking on your door, you should greet them kindly. And at the very least, if they reach out, you should at least notify them to say you're not interested. It definitely is something we all appreciate.